Well, at least one US police department has announced a review of how it operates in response to the protests. The Los Angeles Police Department wants changes by the end of the year, and the department's board wants a report on protesters injured during the demonstrations in that city this past week. There have also been images among the violence this week of police standing with protesters rather than fighting them. So is this the beginning of real change? Associate Professor Claire Corbould is an expert in African American history and politics at Deakin University in Melbourne. We spoke earlier.
I must say I'm a bit sceptical about those incidences and whether they amount to much more than a PR stunt. But there have been some encouraging signs over the last few years in the United States of just a few incidences. So Camden in New Jersey, for example, has shifted in the last 7 years from a military model of policing, which is what we see in most of the United States, to a community model of policing. And they've done that by shifting the administration from the state to the county, by completely renewing the personnel, by defunding and changing, so literally giving them less equipment and less of that incredible military gear that we see so many American policemen kitted out in, and most of all by retraining or training anew the new force with the dictum, first principle, do not use force unless it is absolutely necessary, and making sure that the definition of necessary is one that a reasonable person would agree with. And so that's a kind of encouraging sign, but there aren't many. The LAPD today has been, it's been announced that the LA City Council will cut their budget from $1.8 billion by $150 million. I mean, I'm talking about big numbers in any case, but that's actually quite significant too. So it's hard to know, but and, you know, we hope that these protests will make a big change in policing in the United States.
It's not just policing either, is it? The criminal justice system more broadly has a lot of issues to deal with.
Indeed. I mean, at every level, police are just the front line African Americans encounter, you know, on a daily basis. But no, I mean, it's the way that laws are framed, and the example that historians like me use all the time is in the 1980s, crack cocaine, the possession or use of crack cocaine was much more harshly penalised than the use of powdered cocaine. And of course, it was white people who used powdered cocaine by and large, and African Americans who used crack cocaine. So examples like the passing of laws, and then who gets to court, who gets to settle out of court, who gets convicted, and how long prison sentences and the like. At every level, African Americans are discriminated against. And that's why we see a hugely disproportionate number of African Americans in prison in the United States. So the prison population is 2.3 million. And this is a system that has made a lot of other people an awful lot of money.
Now, on the protests themselves, the ninth night of protests across the United States, indeed protests around the world, is this moment actually changing votes? And whose votes? I mean, is it really so pivotal that it might shift a presidential election?
Always difficult to predict the future, but this morning Newsweek published a poll that shows that of Minneapolis residents, 54% said they understood and felt that it was justified that protesters had burned down the police precinct. And a massive 78% said that they understood the anger that was underpinning these protests and the longevity of these protests. I mean, that is unprecedented. If you go back to King and the civil rights campaigns of the 1960s, I mean, it's said now that King was the most hated man in America. And certainly polls taken in the mid and late 1960s showed that most moderate whites, let alone conservatives, thought King was, you know, terrible, the Antichrist, that he was asking for too much too soon and was unreasonable. So to have a poll like that this morning is, you know, again, another sign of hope and quite significant. Whether it translates to votes, of course, is always a vexed question because there's no compulsory voting. So it will take the mobilisation, particularly of young people and of African Americans, to ensure Biden a victory.
Claire Corbould, thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks, Linda.
Associate Professor Claire Corbould from Deakin University.